There's a word that's very important to understanding the book of John, particularly chapter 1. The word is translated here simply as the word, word. However, the word used for word is not actually word. The word used for word is logos. Logos comes from Greek philosophy. John chose logos to communicate something powerful to both a Jewish audience and a Greek-speaking audience. In the Jewish world, the Old Testament concept of God's word was not just a spoken word or a written word. It represented power. It represented authority. It represented something from God himself. In the Hellenistic or the Greek world, in Greek philosophy, logos represented reason or order or even to the power that holds the universe together. Well, in John's time, as the Greek-speaking world infiltrated Israel, some of the Jews started using a Greek Old Testament. Guess which word was often used in place of the word, word? The word logos was used. And so John chose the word logos in chapter 1 to communicate to both the Greek and the Jewish worlds about something or someone who is the personification of order, reason, authority, power, and the force that holds everything together in the universe. John chose that word, logos. And the Greek word logos, which is, to make this a little more confusing, in English, we just translate it as word. So it went from the Hebrew word, word, to the Greek word, logos, back to the English word, word. It all refers to the same word, which is logos or word. So let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless us, because today we're going to talk about Jesus, the Word. But before we do, let's go to God the Father and ask him to shed his spirit more powerfully upon us as we study about the Word in his Word. Join me now in prayer. God, we thank you for the Bible, which we call God's Word, because it is what you have spoken to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through your servants, by recording these words so that we may know you and know more about ourselves and about your plan for our lives. And we ask once again through the power of your Spirit that you speak to us. God, we also thank you for Jesus, the Word, the Logos, Lord, and we pray you teach us this morning about Jesus and about yourself and about how Jesus changes everything for us. God, I know that there may be some in this room today who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, have not been saved from their sins. God, would you draw them to yourself this morning and help them to see how much they need you? Lord, there's likely others of us who are followers of Jesus but are struggling right now, or doubting perhaps, or holding on to some sins that we're not letting go of. God, would your Holy Spirit break through to us? Show us how we are your treasured children who need to follow you faithfully. May we grow closer to Jesus. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Gospel of John is unique among the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, due to its theological focus on Jesus. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not implying the other Gospels don't focus on Jesus. That's their primary focus. But the other three Gospels are written more as a chronological or a historical account of the life and ministry of Jesus, with some focus on the theology side of things, the theological side of things. John is more concerned with the theological side, with somewhat of a focus on the historical and chronological side. And so John has a little bit of a different angle. Of course, when you take all those things together, it gives us a wonderful picture of the life and ministry of Jesus on the earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are very similar to one another. In fact, they are what we call the synoptic gospels. Here's what we mean by that. They're similar to one another. If you remember from school, the word synonym, right? They're similar type things. They're the synoptic gospels. John kind of stands on its own. John is unique among the gospels, and that's what we get to study in this series, in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is widely to believed to be have written by the apostle, guess what his name is? John. It's widely believed to have been written by the apostle John, whom we know to be one of the closest disciples of Jesus. Jesus had 12 apostles. Among the 12, there were three who were particularly close to him: Peter, James, and say it, John. Very good. And then among the three, there was one referred to as the one whom Jesus loved, which was John. Guess who said that? John said that. John said that. The one whom Jesus loved. And so we know, very widely accepted, although it doesn't say it in the gospel directly that I, John, wrote this, it's very widely accepted and implied that John, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James, John and James, the sons of Zebedee, that this is that John who wrote the gospel. By the way, John also wrote the book of Revelation, which we recently finished. And he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, epistles to churches in the later part of the New Testament. Well, that's a little bit of an introduction. Now let's look at the passage together and then dive into what God is teaching us here. Look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, the true light that gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him." Okay, we'll stop there today. You see what I mean with the theological focus? There's a lot of richness and depth in that passage, and we'll walk through that this morning. If you're new to our church, I want you to know I'm not going to answer every question you might have in this passage today. But that's okay, because at First Baptist Church, you're allowed to ask questions. And so, just not during the sermon. So find me after the sermon, or find one of our other pastors. We'd love to answer any questions you might have about this, because as teachers of the Word of God, we want you to understand it. That if you don't understand it, we're not doing our jobs. And so we want you to understand it, so please feel free to ask questions. As we look at this passage, we're going to notice some revealed truths about Jesus. And here's number one. First, Jesus, the Word at the beginning. Jesus, the Word at the beginning. Pay attention again to verse 1. Jesus says, "In the beginning was the Word." Notice that John didn't say here, Jesus was created at the beginning. He says he was there. The Word was there at the beginning. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was this force, this presence, this order that holds everything together. However, this Logos of which John spoke is not just a force. Just picture you're reading this for the first time. and you're a Greek-speaking person, and you're understanding what John means when he says the word logos. And he says, in the beginning was the logos. So you go, okay, I'm with you. And then, but it's not just that, right? The logos was not just a force. John continues, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You see the sequential amping up of things? John says, he was there, he was with God, the logos, and he was God. Well, that changes everything. The logos is not just a force. The logos was with God, and the logos was God. Well, that's amazing. So what is this thing that was with God? What is this thing that is God? Well, it's not a thing. It's a he. He, John says in verse 2, he was with God at the beginning. Again, imagine you're reading this verse, and you go, we're talking about a person here? We're talking about a he? He was in the beginning. He was with God. He is God. Of course, the he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. For those of you who say the Bible doesn't teach that Jesus is divine, they have not read the Bible, or they have not seriously taken the Bible at what it says about itself. The Bible says very clearly, Jesus is God. And you might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Matt, it doesn't say yet the word Jesus. That's true. Let's look down at verse 14 again. I read it earlier. John says, the word, the logos, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who became flesh and dwelt among us? Let us just remember the name given to the one who was born in Bethlehem, Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is Jesus. John, you might say, well, that's just one verse. Okay, let me just help you out here. The entire Gospel of John is devoted to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. There's no other character here except Jesus in terms of who it might be, the Logos, the Word, God himself. What's more, the entire New Testament is devoted to Jesus. So first we see Jesus, the Word, who was already there at the beginning. Let's look second at this truth, is that Jesus, the light, testified by John. Jesus, the light, testified by John. Now, in case you're not already confused enough by a word that was word, and then it was changed to logos, and then the word was changed back to word, in case that's not already confusing enough to you, there's another John here in this passage. John is talking about John, but he doesn't mean John who wrote the Gospel of John. He means a different John. For those of you who know the New Testament, you may have picked up on the fact that John is talking about John the Baptizer. Some call John the Baptist. So that's something we need to catch here, because you might say, John's kind of talking about himself in a weird way. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about John the Baptizer. In verses 6 through 8, says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light. That's John. John was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, the true light that gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. So we're talking about John, the son of Zebedee, who's talking about John the Baptizer. Okay, and John the Baptizer was a prophet of God. Some might say the last Old Testament style prophet. Although he's in the New Testament, he's kind of in the style of the Old Testament prophets. And he came to prophesy about the greatness and light of Jesus. Now, if you dig in a little bit more to John, we realize that John was Jesus's older earthly cousin. Okay, he was a cousin of Jesus, older than him. But John says about the light, he existed before me. How could he exist before him if John's older? Because John understood who he was. John the Baptist understood that he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, which was the message that John proclaimed about Jesus. And he's pointing people to Jesus, John is, pointing people to Jesus, so that all might believe through Jesus, the light. John was not the light, Jesus was. And John came to tell people that Jesus is the light. He is the true light. And this theme of light is not only present all throughout the Gospel of John, it's actually very present in 1 John, the letter that John wrote later to the churches when he was a very old man. But here's what Jesus said about himself. John said that Jesus was of the light. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 8, which we'll get to in a few weeks or months. He says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. John said Jesus was the light. Jesus said Jesus is the light, right? Jesus is the light sent from God to reach a dark world who desperately needs light. Listen, friends, as John pointed people to the light, so can you. We live in a dark world. People need the light, and you can point people to the light. You can point people to the light that can penetrate the darkness and bring the light of life. John was sent by God, and so are you. John told others about Jesus, and so can you. We talked last week about how we carry hope with us. We carry hope with us. We can bring hope to the world, and we can also take light into the darkness. That's a little bit about John the Baptist and what he was doing in his ministry. Third, we learn Jesus is the source of light and life. You might say, well, you've already talked about light. Yeah, I know, but John keeps talking about it, so I'm going to also. He is the source of light and life. Here's a way to kind of summarize what John's getting at here. And I really mean this. Everything good in this world finds its source in Jesus. Everything good in this world finds its source in Jesus. You might say, well, that's a bold, kind of really holistic statement. Yeah, I know. But this is what John's pointing us to. John says in verses 3 through 6, all things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. John continues in verse 10. He's speaking of Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was created through him. And yet the world did not recognize him. Don't miss this first reality in verse 3. Everything on this earth was created through Jesus. I think sometimes we miss that. We think that God the Father did all the creating, and Jesus was just kind of hanging out. It's actually Jesus, from what the scriptures tell us, did the work. God the Father commanded it. He ordained it. He instructed it. And Jesus said, I got it. And he did it. He carried out creation. The world did not just come to be. It's just, listen, it's foolishness to think the world just happened to exist all of a sudden. That's foolishness. It just doesn't make any sense. No person can really believe that, I don't believe. Now, there's other theories about where it came from. There's other theories. They're wrong. But it's foolishness to think it just came from nothing. It doesn't make any sense at all. The planets, the stars, the galaxies did not just fall into place. The majestic mountains, valleys, rivers, seas, forests, swamps, deserts, and plains did not develop from nothing. Jesus Christ created all those things by his powerful handiwork. The Apostle Paul spoke to this as well. He says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. How about that? Jesus didn't just create everything and then step back and say, let's see what happens. Jesus is holding us together. The very fact that we're not all just in absolute chaos is because of the grace and powerful rule of Jesus over all things. Everything finds its origin and life and goodness through Jesus. You might say, wait a minute, Pastor Matt. Are you saying Jesus created mac and cheese? Are you saying Jesus created Nike basketball shoes? Are you saying Jesus created a Ford Mustang? No, I'm not saying that. But Jesus created every atom and every element that compose all the ingredients and all the components of those things. They did not come from nothing. Jesus created the things that compose those things. Did you know that the modern iPhone is made up of roughly 800 to 1,200 individual components, depending upon the model? Every single one of those components, if you trace it back far enough, finds its origin in the creative genius of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's more, think about this. Jesus created the intelligent human beings who created those things. Those people came from the creative handiwork of Jesus, including Mr. Truett Cathy, who created the Chick-fil-A sandwich. To which all God's people said, amen, right? Everything good finds its origin in Jesus. All of life finds its origin in Jesus. And we know from elsewhere in the Bible that God is light. The Bible tells us that. By the way, John tells us that in 1 John. God is light. And we also know, primarily through the Old Testament, that God actually would radiate light because of the greatness of his glory. Remember, if you don't know what glory is what I refer to as the godness of God, right? He just can't help, because he's so much God, to radiate glory. We frequently have this explanation of the glory of God, and Jesus brought that glory or that light into a dark world. By the way, not just when he came as a child. Not just when he came as a baby. You'd be like, what do you mean, Pastor Matt? Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. God said, let there be light. Who was doing the creating? Jesus. Let there be light. And Jesus brought light. But then, when Jesus came into the world as a human being, he brought that light once again in a different form, in a different manifestation. So Jesus brought light into the world at creation, but he also brought light into the world when he came as that baby boy. By the way, just came to my mind, what was the signal, the mark of the coming of Jesus, the baby? A bright light. Goodness gracious. Jesus brought light into the world, and God is showing his light to the darkness. And as we read in verse 5, but that darkness did not and will not overcome the light. The darkness will not overcome. However, John tells us, and we know from observation, not everyone recognizes the light. Not everybody accepts Jesus as the light. But to those who did, the light changes everything. The light changes our lives. So let's talk about that fourth truth we see here, is that Jesus, the one full of glory, grace, and truth. The one full of glory, grace, and truth. Look again at verses 11 through 18. It says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born, not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Let me just pause here. Hold on to that for John chapter 3. Hold on to what John just said here when we get to John chapter 3. Can y'all remember that? That'll be like in 2.5 months probably or something. Remember that, okay? Pick it up in verse 15. Or verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, this was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. The him is God the Father. He, the Son, has revealed him. There's so much in these final verses. I could do a sermon just on these last few verses, but I want to just focus on a few powerful truths from this last little point here. First, not everyone will receive Jesus the light. Why is that? Well, the darkness is very powerful. The darkness is very powerful, and it is pulling us away from the light. Our sin and the power of sin over the earth. The Bible says we are slaves to sin, and it's pulling us away from the light. However, make no mistake, Jesus will win. The light will win. The light will have victory. John told us the darkness will not overcome the light. But still, not everyone will receive Jesus. In fact, his own people, the people of Israel, rejected him. And they crucified him. We'll read about that towards the end of John, of the Gospel of John. However, that leads to our second powerful truth. First powerful truth is not everyone will receive it. Second powerful truth, anyone who does receive the light, anyone who does receive Jesus will have the right to be called children of God. This is like, chapter one's like a synopsis. It's like a summary of the whole book. John says Jesus is going to be rejected. But the people of God are not just Israel. Anyone who receives him has the right to be called children of God. The whole gospel is in John chapter one. Don't worry, I'm going to preach the whole thing though, okay? I've got a lot of time devoted to this, so I've got to preach it. But this is the whole truth of God. Anyone who was walking in darkness can step into the light by receiving Jesus Christ, and they can become a child of God. Third truth in this fourth point. Notice this. Jesus brought God to earth. Jesus brought God to earth. Just pay attention. Verse 14 says that the word, that's the Logos, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became human. Remember, John said the word was God. And then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 18 says that Jesus, it says the Son is God himself. And it's like John keeps bringing us back to that in case we're forgetting or in case we're not catching on or in case we're confused. He says it again, the Son, who is God himself. And then Jesus revealed God. He says, none of y'all have seen God, but Jesus came and he showed you who God is. He came to the earth so that God would be revealed to humanity. That's the third little truth here in this fourth point. Fourth truth in the fourth point. I don't know if that's like 16 or something. But we see here that Jesus brought grace and continues to bring grace. Jesus brought grace and continues to bring grace. Verse 14 says that Jesus was full of grace. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was full of grace and truth. That's incredible. Jesus has plenty of grace to give away because he's full of grace. Verse 16 says that we have received grace upon grace. I love that wording. It's just like a rolling distribution of grace from Jesus to his people. And how many of you can raise your hand like me and say, I need grace more than one time in my life, right? I need it a lot. Don't worry. Jesus can provide grace upon grace. John knew that. John was one of those knuckleheaded apostles, just like we knuckleheaded Christians are today, right? Where we just keep doing that which we know is wrong, that which we know is not faithful to God. But Jesus gives us grace upon grace. And then verse 17, it says, grace and truth came through Jesus. John is drawing the Jewish readers in, and he's saying, the law came through Moses, and I can just picture all of them saying, that's right. Amen. Yeah, the law came through Moses. And then John says, but grace and truth came through Jesus. The law is very important. What Moses did was very important and is very important. But Jesus is the better Moses. Jesus brought us true deliverance. Moses brought deliverance to the people of Israel from Egypt. Jesus brings us deliverance from the darkness. He gives us grace and truth. Jesus is the one full of glory who brought grace to the earth. Jesus has blessed us and continues to bless us with grace upon grace. Jesus is God himself, and Jesus revealed God to the earth to be with us and to save us. And that takes us to our bottom line for today. We find God in Jesus. We find God in Jesus. We find the light in Jesus. We find life in Jesus. We find grace in Jesus. We find glory in Jesus. And we find God in Jesus. That's what John 1 is all about. We find God in Jesus, the Word. The Word who dwelt among us. The Word who was there in the beginning. The Word who was with God, and the Word who was God. Challenge yourself this week. One weekly challenge as we reflect upon John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Discover more about the Word. Discover more about the Word. There's so much to find in Jesus. Also, in Jesus, we find God. The more you press into knowing about Jesus, the more you discover about God. You know, we preachers go through, you know, different emotions when we prepare sermons. Sometimes we're like, man, this is going to be good. And people are like, see you later, Pastor Matt. See you later, okay. How was the sermon, you know? And then other times we're like, this is how I feel this time. I don't know if I've said nearly enough for this passage. There's so much to be said about John chapter 1, but you know what? It can be summarized in just that one statement, is that John chapter 1 shows us that we learn about God in Jesus. That's really what it means. But I want to encourage you, just start with John chapter 1 yourself. Just dive more into it and discover more about Jesus, the Logos, the Word, the life, the light. Dig more into that yourself. If you've found God through Jesus Christ, then you can dig more into it. Just discover more about the light that has changed your life. Discover more about the Word that has changed, who has changed your life. But if you've not found God in Jesus, today is the day to find God through Jesus. The scripture tells us in this passage, to all who did receive him, he gave the right to be called children of God. You know, we use an expression sometimes, and I don't want to be too hard about this because I understand what people mean, but we'll say all people are God's children, but they're really not. All people were created by God. All people are made in God's image. All people have value because of that. But there's a unique relationship God has for his children. And it's when they come to him through faith in Jesus Christ, when they come to him through the Word, when they come to him through the light, the life, Jesus. To all who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. The Bible teaches that we actually, instead of following God as faithful children, and instead of obeying him and loving him, that we have all rejected him. Rejected his love and his authority in our lives. It's called sin. When we go outside of God's good design, that's called sin. In any form, small or great in your eyes, doesn't matter. If it's rejecting God's design for your life, it's called sin. And the sin in our lives makes us enemies of God, and it brings darkness into our lives, and it separates us from God. We are not God's children in our sin. We are not. We're separated from God. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I think many of you know this verse already. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, the light, the life, the word. He so loved us that he sent Jesus to die for our sins. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him might have everlasting life." That sounds very similar to what John said. To all who received him, he gave the right to be called children of God. If you're walking in sin, if you're not a child of God, your sin has very real consequences, much more severe than separating you from God. That is terrible. That is horrible. But not just, talking about in this life, while you're human, you're separated from God in this life. That's a terrible existence. But also, what I mean by much more severe is there is an eternal consequence that comes with that. Well, you're separated from God in a real place called hell, where you receive the punishment that you and I deserve for our sins. But Jesus came and gave his life to pay the punishment for your sin and for my sin and for anyone's sin who would call upon his name, to believe in him and have the right to be called children of God. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of response. I'll be standing down here singing with you. Pastor Richard, one of our other pastors, will be down here as well. We would love to talk to you about how you can know Jesus, how you can receive Jesus and become a child of God. You can do that today. To anyone else who is already a child of God, but you've forgotten about how special Jesus is, perhaps. You wouldn't even say that necessarily, but in your life, it's demonstrating that I'm not living my life devoted to Jesus the Word, Jesus the Light, Jesus the Life, Jesus God, God himself. We'd love to pray for you and encourage you. Our pastors would love to pray for you and encourage you any way that we can. Any spiritual decision you need to make. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to follow Jesus through baptism. Maybe somebody needs to just recommit their life to Jesus. Maybe you've been coming to this church for a while and you think, I'd like to make this church my home. I want to follow Jesus with these other people together as my church family. Whatever spiritual decision you need to make, maybe you just need prayer. You can respond during our time of response song. It's an awesome opportunity for us to go in faithfulness to what God's calling us to do. Whatever spiritual decision you need to make, I hope John chapter 1 is firing you up as much as it's firing me up. I'm ready to learn more about Jesus, the Word. Join me now in prayer as we prepare to respond.